Just in the meditation of all our hearts, we know and always accept will in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. During this season of Lent, we in the community of faithful believers, the Christian community, will hear repeatedly, even more so than in the other seasons of the church's year, such terms as patience, penitence, or repentance, faith, hope, charity, love, forgiveness, sin, fasting, temptation, and prayer. Those are the key words you'll hear throughout the Lenten season. And these terms will undoubtedly be the topics or themes for many or most of the services which will be held during the season of Lent. So, as we begin the 40 days of Lent, there should be no surprise, therefore, that the themes of the texts or the readings for this, the first Sunday in Lent, are temptation and persistence of sin. Temptation and the persistence of sin that we are confronted with in human life. The reading from the book of Genesis recalls the creation and the fall of the first human beings. Well, the second reading, the epistle text, continues and contains Paul's theological reflection on that narrative. And the traditional story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is the subject of the gospel reading that I read a few minutes ago. There are a few other Sundays in the Christian year in which the lectionary selections feature such profound texts. I suggest to you that it is good that we are and should be reminded that Jesus suffered temptation. For the presence of such stories, which we read in the gospel, remind us that Jesus was in many ways like you and me, like us. He too was tempted and could sin. You and I should not think as our forefathers did, that a visible devil in human form or some other visible form appeared before him. Whenever you read about the devil, I'm quite sure you are led to feel that the devil, like some being, appeared to him. Jesus was tempted by the devil, yes. That is to say, plans and desires which were contrary to his father's will came into his mind, and he had to fight them off, literally speaking. That was the devil. But to remind us that Jesus was also human is not the only reason why the story of his temptation is told. The stories of Jesus' life, including the one of his temptation, serve to illuminate for us the process by which Jesus worked out the problem of how he could fulfill the purpose for which the Father God has sent him into the world. So, as we read the verses which lead to the reading of this morning's gospel, I wouldn't want to read them to you now, but The gospel, the passage that leads up to this, talk about the gathering of the 70, about his baptism. And as the drama unfolds in the confusion which followed the dramatic moment of his baptism, we find that Jesus, for the first time, learned who he really was. The verses that lead up to what I read this morning talk about the baptism. And when he was ducked into the water by John the Baptist three times, and he came up, what happened? He heard, for the first time, he learned who he really was. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The voice from heaven sung it to him. So Jesus, hearing this statement, was driven by the desire to be alone, to go apart from all human beings, to think through the reason and meaning of his presence in and his coming into the world. Thus, Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights alone in the desert, enduring the hardships and facing the dangers there, and above all, encountering temptations of the devil. And remember what I said earlier, the devil wasn't a human being. So if we are to get at the deeper significance of the temptations, you and I must understand what really and actually took place at his baptism. When he came out of the water, as I said earlier, after John had baptized him, suddenly the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Could you imagine that? He go up in the wilderness and suddenly, go down to be baptized, and suddenly he comes up with water and he hears that. This revelation to Jesus for the first time that he was not only by nature the Son of Mary, but also the Son of God. He was both human and divine. That is a significant factor in the situation. So, it was after he realized who he was, the Son of God, he was driven into the wilderness. The wilderness was the name given to the area around the Dead Sea. It might have been called the Dead Land. A few hungry jackals prowled around and among the rocks. Sometimes a snake slithered over the stony ground. And apart from this, there was no life, no vegetation, no shelter, only stark white rock as far as the eyes could see. Sometimes a bird of prey hovered beneath the burning blue sky, scanning the glaring rocks for any sign of life. It was in this bleak region that Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights, and there to think through the meaning of it all and to determine what he must do. So absorbed was he in trying to arrive at an understanding of his heavenly mission that he even did not eat. He forgot to eat, just like most of us tend to do or forget in the confusing excitement of sharing experience. As the days go by and he wrestles with the problems of his purpose and mission, certain things began to stand out. He is able to deal with the tempter, the devil. From his deep grounding in the Hebrew faith and knowledge of the scriptures, he was able to deal with the tempter. Interestingly, the tempter decides to use scriptural words to confront him. Quoting, he said, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus knew the verses in its full context. If you need to find those verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91. Jesus knew the verse in its full context and was not misled. Even more significant, as is evident from his later ministry, was his thinking as to whether he might use his power to create material enticements to bring men and women to God. It soon became evident that one cannot bribe men and women into the kingdom of God. Neither can men and women be brought to God by amazing them with a display of some spectacular supernatural feat or achievement. Perhaps from one of the Judean hills, he saw the temple glistening in the sunlight, and the thought came to him, he can commend himself and his message by throwing himself down from his pinnacle to the stone court below, and afterwards show himself unharmed. Would not such a demonstration so dazzle onlookers that there would be a stampede into the kingdom of God? Oh, no. He realized that too is a temptation to be laid aside. My dear friends, mankind cannot be astounded, bribed, or amazed into the kingdom of God. Thirdly, would it not be a legitimate way to bring about God's kingdom on earth by a conquest of the nations in the name of God? Surely, kings, many Christian kings and leaders tried by compelling the masses to be baptized. It was a great temptation, but soon Jesus realized that thought was of the devil. So there in the harsh, cruel, barren environment, Jesus slowly arrived at the character his ministry must take. If one cannot bribe men and women, amaze them or enforce them into the kingdom of God, what can be done? When he came out of the wilderness, he had the answer. The hearts and wills of men and women must be won by a loving compulsion of God. So what else can the picture which the Bible portrays of the desert and Jesus' time in it do for you and me, Christians of the present age? Through this story, we are reminded that we too are tempted to give up, tempted to despair, tempted not to help because we think and say, what's the use? Behind each temptation which we encounter, there is a distrust of self, a denial that God is in us. Christianity is not characterized by all smiles and happiness. There are strong forces of evil which cannot be ignored. Perhaps the picture of the wilderness asks us to consider if we are not seeing our Christian faith as too easy a character. We must realize that it makes great demands upon us and cause us to make what might label great sacrifices. The good news is Jesus identifies with us in our self-doubt and weakness, because in his human nature, he experienced self-doubt and weakness, especially in the desert. But we have his promise that the Spirit will be with us, especially in the times when we are tested. Early in this sermon, I noted that the Holy Spirit, which Jesus experienced so vividly and dramatically at his baptism, led him out in the wilderness. Jesus relied on the power of the Spirit. It was the Spirit that gave him the power to resist evil. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are on a spiritual journey. You and I are on a spiritual journey. We cannot go it alone or on our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit within us. We need a resource of strength to draw on, especially in difficult times. Where is this resource? Or how do we develop our own resource? By coming conversant with the Bible, by coming conversant with the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Why? The Bible is the record of God's revelation of himself to humankind, and above all, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our times in the wilderness of life suggest that we do need that resource. Let us turn now in the book of the Green Book on page 829. On page 829. You see a prayer there which I ask us all to say at this time. Gracious God,
in times of anxiety and stress, teach us to wait in quietness for your protection and defense made known to us in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. My friends, I have spoken to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.